For now, let's turn to our scripture reading for this week, Galatians chapter 5, and I am going to read three verses, and it's just verses 13 through 15. Galatians 5, 13 through 15. If you have your place in your Bible, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read. I read from an NASB translation. I also have the words up here on the screen. Starting with verse number 13, the Apostle Paul, as inspired by the Holy Spirit, says this, For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. We'll stop there. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, once again, we have your word opened. We read just three short verses, but there's something there that you want us to learn about your word. So fill our hearts and our minds with the truths that you want to reveal to us here today. As always, we give you the praise and glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. We're still in our expository study of the book of Galatians. We're going through verse by verse and studying everything. And this is message number 36. And I've titled today's message, Through Love, Serve. The exact words that the Apostle Paul uses in verse number 13 of Galatians chapter 5. Well, by this point in this letter, we've gone through four complete chapters. We're halfway through chapter 5. Paul has presented his case for salvation by faith alone in Christ alone. Either you have faith in Christ alone for your hope of eternal life, or you want to contribute works in some way into that equation for your hope of eternal life. What Paul is saying is this: one brings freedom and salvation, faith alone, in Christ alone, and the other brings slavery and damnation. I want to contribute works to my salvation. And in this case, they wanted to contribute circumcision. And you have heard me repeat Paul's words for the past 35 weeks. He's drumming this into them time after time after time. But now, beginning in verse number 13 of chapter 5, he shifts the theme of this letter from theological into, now he's going to get practical. He shifts the theme of this letter from what Galatians, here's what you need to know, to, which is the theological, to now here's how you need to act, the practical. And in theological circles, we call this word application. What is an application? It's an act. Webster defines it as an act of putting something to use, a use to which something is put. It's how we apply what we have been taught. I think most of us know how this word is being used. But let me give you a quick example. After high school, I went to 2 years of trade school to learn electronics. When I graduated, I got a job at General Electric in Waynesboro, and I applied what I learned in school to my job. I think we all understand how the word application is used. Well, Galatians 5:13, let's put that up here. It says this, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And now that the case for Christ has been presented, faith alone in Christ alone, He says that those who have been called by God are now free. Free from what? You're free from the Mosaic law. You're free to do what? That's a little different. You're certainly not free to do whatever you want. And Paul's going to start explaining that here in verse 13 and the remaining verses throughout this book. Well, we are called, as believers, we are called for what? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 answers that for us. For we are his workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. To do good works. And when he talks about good works here, it doesn't mean that we help little old ladies cross the street. That is not what he's telling us. He's going to get right to the point, and he's going to talk about the greatest work that we can do for those who have been called according to his purpose. Let's get back to Galatians 5:13 again. And I'll just read what's underlined there. Paul tells us, and the Galatians, that through love, we are to serve one another. Through love, we are to serve one another. Serving one another through love is something a Christian will do. Not should do, a Christian will do. We have been called to do this. So that's verse 13. I'm going to skip verse 14 for a second. Let's put verse 15 up here. And he says this, and he concludes this little section by saying, "But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." Obviously, there are issues going on within the churches in Galatia. Imagine that. Friction within a church. That never happens, does it? Of course it doesn't. But Paul is now wondering, are these people that he spoke to 5 years earlier, did they get it? Are they truly Christians? And Paul has already kind of addressed that issue, and we've even talked about that here. But he's saying this, if you bite and devour one another, and if you're being consumed by one another, where do you truly stand with Jesus Christ and your faith? And he's going to question that. But then there's a verse in between, verse number 14. He says this, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And this command, the same word, these same words are found in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, Old Testament, part of the Mosaic law. And Jesus repeats it in Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. And he says this, he's being questioned. And Jesus says, what's the greatest commandment? To love God with your whole heart, mind, and strength. And the second commandment is just like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. It's pretty simple. Or is it? Or is it? The Galatians struggled with love. Christians over the centuries have struggled with love. And I think it's safe to say that we might struggle with love too. I struggle with love. And maybe you do too. So let's get practical this morning. Since Paul is shifting from theological to practical, let's get practical here this morning. Let's start by going to 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. And the Apostle John says this, we love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. We know this. Love is something that can be received, but it is something also that needs to be given. We have received his love, and that's why we love God, because he first loved us. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I've received his love. Amen? That's a good thing. We've received his love. Therefore, since every believer has received God's love, every believer must give and share that love with others by serving one another, as Paul tells us in verse 13. So let me just throw the question out there. Do we really love others? I want to throw some challenges out here this morning to all of us here this morning. All of us, and that includes me. And I want to get very practical with the remainder of this message. Do we love others the same way that Jesus loved others? I know what you're saying. That's a tough act to follow. But that's the act we have to follow. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, Jesus tells the experts of the law to love your neighbor as yourself. So I ask, should we? Yes, we should. It's a command. Do we? I'll let you answer that for yourself, because I know what my answer is. Do we love people? Or do we sometimes just wish they would go away? If you are on any sort of social media, then you know that there are people out there who will make us angry. Would you believe it that there are people out there who actually disagree with us? Imagine that. And there may be just sometimes when we're on social media, or maybe other places in other situations, where we say something like this, you know, I just can't stand that person. I don't even want to be around that person. Or do we maybe go as far as saying, you know, I just hate that person. Whoever that person may be. And these people that we may say these things about, well, maybe they don't attend Beech Grove Christian Church, but these other people just may be brothers and sisters in Christ. The believer does not hate. The believer loves. I assure you, there's always going to be people out there who are going to rub us the wrong way. Amen? Amen. That was simple. But we are never to hate those people. We are to love those people. We are to love the unlovable. And that's a challenge. Can we do that? Can we love the people we don't like? Did you ever notice that the ones that we dislike the most are the ones that we just flat out disagree with? Did you ever notice that the ones that we dislike the most are the ones who are, they're not like me. They're not like you. They're just not like us. And since they're different, I don't know if I can like them. Let alone love them. Unfortunately, there are many Christians who have this uncanny ability of not allowing love to flow from their hearts, even though love is a character trait of a transformed life. It's what the Bible teaches us. Do we love? Here's a series of questions we can all answer for ourselves. Do we love those people who disagree with our political views? Do we love those who disagree with our religious views? Do we love those of the opposite gender? Here's two new words in your vocabulary: a misogynist and a misandrist. Speaking of gender, what is a misogynist? It is not a person who gives massages. A misogynist is a man who hates, dislikes, mistrusts, or mistreats a woman. But let's not let the ladies off the hook. There is also a person called a misandrist. It is a woman who hates, dislikes, mistrusts, or mistreats a man. Do we love people regardless of their skin color? Or are we maybe really racist after all? And we may hear people say this, or maybe we have heard ourselves say something like this: I'm white, so I don't like black people. Or I'm black and I don't like white people. Do we love people who have the same ethnic background as we do? I'm an American, so I don't like Hispanics. I'm an American from European descent, and I don't like Asians. I'm an American of European descent, and I'm a Christian, so I don't like Muslims or Arabs or anybody who's not a Christian. How can I possibly love those people who come from a different part of the world than I do? If you're not American, forget you. And then we still have this in America today. People will say something like this: I'm from the North, and I can't love those people from the South. They're so backwards. Or, I'm from the South, and I can't love those people from the North. Would you just please go back to where you belong? I'm short, and I don't love tall people. I'm tall, and I don't like people who are short. I'm fat, and I can't stand those people who are thin. I'm skinny, and I can't love those fat, obese people. I have red hair, black hair, blonde hair, short hair, long hair, curly hair, pink hair, straight hair, no hair. And if your hair isn't just like mine, I don't even like you, let alone try to love you. You have body piercings. Forget you. You have tattoos? No thanks. You are just a piece of white privileged trash. Would you please just stay in your part of the city and don't come over here? You smell. Get lost. Go beg somewhere else, not on this street corner. Is any of this maybe sound familiar? We have become a culture of believers who fail to love because other people are not just like us, and they are not who we want them to be. Is that the kind of love Jesus calls for the believer? Selective love. I will love you if, and then here comes our laundry list of expectations. There's a story in the Bible of a man called, we call him the rich young ruler, and we can find that story in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But the Gospel of Mark adds something that the other two Gospels do not. And we all know the story. The rich young ruler wants to know what he needs to do to inherit eternal life. And it says this, that Jesus knows him. Jesus knows his heart. He knows everybody's heart. Jesus knows that this man is selfish. And he knows that he will place his possessions above anything else. And that this ruler wants to apply his good works to earn his salvation. Jesus knows all this about this guy. And the guy even goes as far as saying, what do I need to do? And Jesus says, don't do this, 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 and this. And the rich young ruler says, I haven't done any of those since I've been a child. Liar, liar, pants on fire, Jesus is saying, but he doesn't say that. This rich young ruler just doesn't get it, and Jesus knows this. The rich young ruler is really nothing like Jesus. But then, after Jesus interrogates this guy, and this guy gives all of his bonehead answers, what does Jesus say? Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said, one thing you lack, go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come on and follow me. I'm not worried about this part here. I'm worried about the part that's bold and underlined. Jesus felt a love for him. Wait a second. This guy doesn't get it. He disagrees with you, Jesus. He's not there. And yet Jesus still loves him. That's the kind of love I would love to have. That's amazing. I want to have the kind of love that I can love the unlovable, that I can love those who disagree with me, those who are not just like me. The same kind of love that Jesus showed even to people that disagreed with him, even to people who nailed him to a cross. And when Jesus says this, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He could have said a lot of other things, and he didn't. I want to love people that I disagree with. I want to love the people who are not just like me. I want to be able to love the unlovable. It's easy for me to love all of you. It is. But how easy is it for any of us to love those out there who are nothing like us? The Bible never commands us to be best friends forever with everyone and anyone, or to hang out with this person. But it does command us to love them. Did you ever notice that the ones we dislike the most are the ones who need our love the most? There is a problem at the churches in Galatia. People are biting and devouring one another and being consumed by one another. That's not love, and that's what Paul is saying. He's saying that's not love, Galatians. That's the human condition. You've been saved from the human condition. And as we will see in the weeks to come, that love is a fruit of the Spirit. And every believer has the fruit of the Spirit. Therefore, every believer must show and demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. We are called to love those who are nothing like us. We are called to love the unlovable. It's easy for us to love all of us. But that kind of love, when we can start loving the unlovable, that kind of love can change the world. So what is Paul, let's summarize this. So what is Paul teaching us in today's lesson? I think we know the point, but I'm going to put some things up here that he's not teaching us. And I think it'll be rather simple. Through obligation, we are to serve one another. Well, you notice I have that word crossed out and there's an X on the side. But somebody might say something like this. Well, I'm in this committee, and this is just what we're going to do. It's not what I signed up for, but I guess I'll do it. It's an obligation, so I'll serve. Do we serve out of obligation? That's not what Paul is saying, and he's not saying this either. Through guilt, serve one another. If I don't do this, then everyone will think that I'm a bad Christian. So I better do it, and I better do it with a smile on my face. So out of my guilt, I'll do it. I'll serve. Well, Paul's not saying that either. And he's not saying this. Through peer pressure, serve one another. Well, everyone else is doing it, so I guess I better be doing it too. I really don't want to do it, but since everyone else is, I saw her doing it, I saw him doing it. I don't want to be left out, so I'll do it too. So because of peer pressure, I'll serve one another. And that's not what Paul's saying, and he's not saying this next one either. Through reciprocation, serve one another. Well, they helped me once upon a time, so I guess it's my turn to help them. So through reciprocation, yeah, I'll serve them. Well, I remember that time, yeah, he came over my house, and so I guess it's my turn. Yeah, I owe them one, so I'll serve them. And Paul's not saying that either. He's telling us we don't serve through obligation. We don't serve one another through guilt. We don't serve one another through peer pressure. We don't serve one another through reciprocation. But he does say this: through love, serve one another. Because the Word of God says this: for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them. And the greatest of those good works is going to be love. Love God with our whole heart, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. So now that we know the Word of God, it's time that we apply the Word of God. We need to love one another. Trust me, it will be the most challenging thing that we will ever be commanded to do as Christians. Because it's just a tough thing to do. Love one another. But it is what we are told to do. So let's pray.